slightly less than $30,000, right? you can find out.
And it ended.
All right. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Rick, callers insisting the tram going up should be named Cialis. Ha, ha. Okay. It's 503-733. Thank you, Scotty. 503-733-2970. All right. What? Did I just really do that? Sorry.
What are you... Yeah.
I put chapstick on, so I got off my thing.
Oh.
All right, so here's what we got. So we got Scott Daly, who's going to join us here in just a second. We got Tim Riley, who will return from the Ministry of Truth. I got to play the Sure song. I don't even know if we're going to get to my sweater. I don't know if we're going to talk about the suburban perspective. All of this stuff.
There's nothing to talk about your sweater.
I wanted to tell the amusing anecdote about it. Oh, never mind. It's pointless.
Nobody can
see
it.
No, just fine. Fine.
Don't wear it again.
I can't. That's the thing is, and what does that mean?
I'm messing with you.
I don't think you are, and here's why. Because when I said, I want to talk about this sweater I'm wearing, like, hours ago, you kind of nodded like, uh-huh, yes, you do. You do need to talk about that sweater you're wearing. What is up with that? And I hadn't even told you. Here's what I was going to say, is that this morning, and you see me, I'm like waitress style carrying my stuff, right? I have a huge pile of news and, like, legal pads and papers.
You balance your coffee cup on top of it.
And on top of it, I balance my headphones, my water bottle, my coffee cup, my pen, and my headphones. And I normally do a very good job of doing that. Not so today. Today, I kind of tripped, and the water bottle and the coffee cup both go flying. And I kind of go, wah! And I sort of like corral it all to a counter so it doesn't land on the floor. It all kind of lands on the counter, and I reassemble it. But then I realize I've covered the entire front of my body with liquid. I assumed it was water because I hadn't had any coffee yet, and I thought the coffee cup would be empty. And it's one of those things where it's kind of a, you know, just when it's kind of a dark, and it's kind of dark gray. And so all you can see is just a big wet stain, or just a big wet mark, and then, of course, right in the front of my pants, right in the crotch. That's always good. Crotch totally soaking. And so I look down, and I'm like, well, was that water or was it coffee? I guess I'll have to wait till it dries. And now that it's dried, I have the entire front of my body is covered in brown stain. So that's really fun. So that's what I was going to mention. Wasn't that a fun story? I should have pushed that to the top of the show. I should put that story in a cart and then give it to another radio program someday so they can play it over and over again. Let's,
Friday is a favorite day.
Let's talk to, let's just do these four real quickly, then we'll welcome Scott Daly. Jeff, hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, does Scotty think he looks like Nick Lachey?
Who?
Nick Lachey.
You think that Scotty thinks he looks like Nick Lachey? We are giving a pair of Chelsea Handler tickets to the person who can identify the celebrity that Scotty believes he resembles. No. A, no, he doesn't, clearly. And B, no, he did not. That is not the celebrity he guessed. But that does prompt this. Sarah just now was talking about some guy. And because I have said for a long time that I think Nick Lachey, he's a very good-looking guy.
Hot.
If I could look like a guy, he wouldn't be the guy. If I could look like a guy, like a male celebrity, Johnny Depp, of course, always my go-to there. Just because, he's kind of like the world's most perfect guy. It kind of makes me sick. And then George Clooney. George Clooney's a very handsome man. Nick Lachey, though, because Nick Lachey kind of has that sort of young George Clooney thing to me. A little bit. But Sarah during the break was talking about some guy, and I came in and I heard these words come out of Sarah Dillon's mouth, and I never thought Sarah would say this. I came in just as Sarah was saying the following phrase. Hotter than Jake Gyllenhaal. And I never thought I would hear you say that about anybody. You said hotter than Jake Gyllenhaal about who?
Justin Theroux.
And who is that?
He is in Mulholland Drive. He also played a couple of characters in Sex and the City. He was also...
Is that Theroux with the foofy French spelling?
Yeah.
All right.
Theroux.
Okay.
And he also played... he was in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle as an Irish mobster. He was so freaking hot in that role. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
he's my number one.
He's your number one, what, the hottest guy ever?
Hottest guy ever.
How do you spell Theroux?
Theroux.
Oh, Theo?
Theroux.
I'm sure this is fascinating for everybody listening. Theroux. Justin Theroux. You look a little tousled. I was Justin Theroux. Here we go. Really? This guy? Hold on, let me just bring up the full size. This hottest guy ever. This
hottest
right
guy ever. Hottest guy I've ever seen. Ever.
Interesting.
I've had a crush on him for years.
He looks a little too masculine for your taste. I say, immediately slandering all of Sarah's ex-boyfriends. Hello.
Rick, I wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
the reason, though, did you ever find out why those people stole your front seat from your truck?
No, because they're bastards. Sons
well,
of bitches.
I work with a Russian dude, and.
He's probably got them.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I mean, they're probably at his house right now, next to, you know, an illegal child bride.
It turns out that what they'll do is they'll steal, like, things that are really. Things that are really hard to find replacements for.
Yeah.
And then they'll wait for you to sell your truck real cheap because you don't want to pay to, you know, go buy a new front seat. Then they'll put your front seat back in it and sell it for, you know, three times as much.
Oh, seriously. I swear to God. I mean, if I ever find the guy, and I'm not saying I'm masculine, but I know guys who are. I'm not saying I'm a tough guy, but I'm saying I know guys who enjoy hitting people. If I ever find it, just steal the whole truck and burn it to a cinder. Why would you steal the goddamn seats and give it back? Well, I guess we know the answer. You've explained it. I'm just saying, if I ever find the guys who did it, I'm going to have their legs broken. I swear to God, I'm going to have their legs broken, and I'm going to have the legs of their parents broken. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's Jeff.
I found a picture of him. He's all shiny from Charlie's Angels.
I don't see it. I mean, he's an attractive-looking man, I suppose. I don't see him being your hottest guy ever.
Hottest guy ever.
He looks, and those eyebrows are a little intense. They're a little out of control.
He has, like, this crazy look about him.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Johnny Knoxville. And I know you've got a thing for Johnny Knoxville. He looks
okay.
Like a kind of a cleaned-up Johnny Knoxville, a little bit. All right, let's real quickly these and then, well, hello. Hi, Scott Daly's here.
Well, hello.
Hello. Brenton, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yes, does Scotty J think he looks like a dirty Owen Wilson?
Dirty.
A is dirty, there a clean Owen Wilson?
A dirty submissive
well,
Owen Wilson.
You know, like clean cut, opposed to that, you know?
No, that is not the celebrity that he believes he resembles. No, I don't, Owen Wilson, Scotty J, anyone? Do you see that? Anyone?
No.
I mean, I could sort of see him thinking that, though.
Maybe
bit.
With the hair, maybe. Owen Wilson bottle rocket days.
The one today. I could really see is him thinking he looked like Kiefer Sutherland. I could see that. That is not what he said. But all right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's and quickly two more, and then we'll talk films.
Hey, Rick.
Hello. Is that a child?
Yeah, that's Eugene. Actually, you met his placenta about a year and a half ago.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, hello again.
Are you of the Chippewa Falls placentas? I just made that joke a couple days ago, but it's still funny. What's up? How are there's a kid out there, and I've met his placenta.
Really, you know.
Placenta?
Small world.
Okay. Barely knew her.
You're
hey,
losing
so,
it,
I got
dude.
Some storm news for you.
Okay.
I got an inside man at Dante's. I guess they're playing at Dante's February 16th, Storm in the Ball.
Sarah?
That's the same date as the Supernova concert here in.
Oh, are you kidding awesome. Me? That is fantastic.
So I know you kind of predicted that happening, at, you know, or that you should do that. And
did I?
I think she was on the show when you said that.
Oh.
She's like, oh, no, we'd never do that.
No. How the worm turns. Good for her. Good for her. Good for the balls. That is balls. Fantastic balls.
So I thought you're the guy that we want to know.
No, I'm all over that, Sarah. Do we know that that's true? Can you confirm that? I know that you are close to large nipples.
I'd heard.
The large nipples.
My friend, the one who told me.
That's their couple.
His dad owns Jockeys.
So he is a man who knows.
I told you about their Christmas cards, right?
No, from.
They say happy, Merry Christmas from the large nipples family.
Well, Davy Nipples, from large, right? It's true. It is linguistically accurate. All right. That's fantastic. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
All right, there you go. That's Jesse. Well done. And final call for now. I mean, still call, but this is the last one we're going to get for a few minutes. Chad, hello.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What's up?
Hey, just a little side note before I get going. There's a gondola ride at Six Flags down in Texas that takes you from the Colossus to the Dragon's Wing. So.
Is that true? And now, when you say gondola or galanda or whatever the hell it is, is it the air kind or the water kind?
The air kind, of
okay.
course.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm just axing.
Hey, so, when I was living downtown in Salt Lake years ago, I was bartending at the Market Street Grill. I would walk to work, and one really great way I would keep the homeless guys from asking me for change was I would... you know, walk along the sidewalk and talk very angrily to myself.
Really?
I'll tell you, it worked so well. You know, and I would just say the wackiest stuff I could come up with. I'd be like, stupid shoes. Oh, always on my feet. Goddamn. And nobody ever asked me for any change.
So not into a cell phone, just out loud.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I mean, I'd just be walking along, just like, but you know, the upshot was one night I was walking home, had a couple of drinks,
yeah.
And was feeling kind of funny and full of myself, and when I was walking by one of the homeless guys, I was like, do you have any change? And he actually gave me a nickel.
That's so great.
He actually gave me a nickel. So.
Well done, sir. And you lived in Salt Lake. Where'd you work?
I worked at the Market Street Grill downtown.
What era would that have been?
Oh, geez, it was right after, well, let's see, that would be 92 to 94 I was bartending there.
And I may have seen you there. I used to go to that place a lot.
Right on, yeah. We'd go do the open mic night at the Dead Goat and hang out with Zephyr. I mean,
I did the open mic night at the Dead Goat.
Now, was it when it was Sunday nights or Monday nights?
It was when it was Sunday nights.
Yeah, man, I used to do that. It was like religion for like a year for us.
Let's hug! I totally did that. And when Scott Ivey was running that.
Totally, man. No, I used to hang out with Scott, like, every once in a while. Go back to his place and, you know, drink some beers and smoke some cigars and et cetera. So, yeah, man.
That's fantastic. Well done. Well, God bless you, sir. Look at this. And now I feel all warm and fuzzy. Fantastic.
What did you do for an open mic night?
What did you do?
Oh, no, not you. Not you. Rick. I was just
okay.
I can't. I have abilities.
You have things.
Reflection on you is the best. What did you do on open?
That's why I didn't want you to think I was talking to you.
It was. I like how the caller is immediately assumed to be brilliant and talented. I'm assumed to just be some chimp.
No,
that just up there going. All right. Thank you, Chad. God bless you, sir.
Right on.
Congratulations on getting out of Utah.
Yeah. Right on, man.
All right. Thank you. That's there you go. That's Chad. And the Markets for Grill is fantastic pecan pie, by the way. All right. There you go. Are we done? We done making fun of Rick? Move on?
What did you talk about?
What do you mean?
Like, at your open mic night.
Oh, it wasn't. It was a music. It was a musical open mic night. And,
you sang?
I did.
Oh.
No, my friend, you've met Todd. You met our friend Todd.
Mm-hmm.
And we had like a, yeah, we had kind of a, not a band, but I mean, just kind of a duo thing that we did.
One night, it's like 10, 12 years ago, some friends and I were drunkenly singing karaoke, and we did Milli Vanilli, Girl, You Know It's True. There was four of us doing up there, drunk off our butts. And when it was done, the owner of the bar came to us. He goes, "You guys, we do an open mic comedy night every Monday night. You need to come down and do that again."
Fantastic.
All right.
No.
Sorry, one time only.
No, it was just like I get up and, you know, and everybody got, you know, whatever it is, everybody gets three songs or whatever the hell. So, let's see here. Okay, so Scott's here. We're not going to get to this bad movies you can't quit watching thing.
Okay.
So let's assess right now. We got 40 minutes.
Okay.
We got to pay another visit to the Ministry of Truth.
All right.
We got to talk about the new David Lynch film.
Yeah.
And then I got to play Sure, and that, because that's going to be pointless after today. What?
Play Sure now.
Huh? What were you saying?
Every time balls. I say something, you say balls.
because of Storm Large and the Balls,
yes.
Who are playing at Dante's.
I know, we're a big fan of their band. The Balls.
The Balls. What were you mouthing to me just now?
We should... Stop it.
Oh, I was trying to lead you right into that one. What were you mouthing?
We should... We should play the Cher song now, that's what I was saying.
Okay.
It's Friday is a favorite day.
All right. Okay, so I don't remember why. Oh, it's because you were karaoke-ing If I Could Turn Back Time last night. And nobody clapped.
Oh,
except for the
no
one guy.
Clapped, sir?
That's sad.
I thought I did really well. I was wrong.
And then I... you misjudged.
I chose poorly.
So you had talked about karaoke-ing If I Could Turn Back Time, and then I mentioned that off that same record, which is Heart of Stone, there was this terrible song called Just Like Jesse James, which is full of these terrible Western cowboy euphemisms for Cher getting it on with, like, some kid. Some young buck. Let me see if I can find the lyrics here. Scarlett Johansson. People are sending me nothing but Scarlett Johansson photos ever since you mentioned that thing.
What's the problem with that?
Nothing at all.
Are you complaining, Rick Emerson?
No, she is submissive. We've got this. Okay, so here we go. I'm just going to read you these lyrics, and then we'll play the song. The song won't be as bad as me reading the lyrics.
Are you going to read them as Cher?
Just... I can only do it in short doses, okay, though. No, it's a...
Doing a Grover voice.
Do it as Hank Hill. No, the lyrics to this, just like Jesse James by Cher, this came out in like 89. I used to have to play this as a DJ, by the way. You're strutting into town like you're slinging a gun. Just a small town dude with a big city attitude. Honey, are you looking for some trouble tonight? Well, all right. You're so bad, drive the women folk wild. Shoot them all down with a flash of your pearly smile. But you met your match tonight, blah, blah, blah. You think you'll knock me off my feet till I'm flat on the floor? Till my heart is crying Indian?
What?
I don't know what that means. I'm reading the lyrics off the page. Till my heart is...
Is your, like, headdress period?
Yeah, what shirt era was this?
Headdress period. What does that mean? Was this 300 years ago?
It's the Indian reference? Is that what you're saying, Sarah?
Yeah, well, I seem to recall that she would wear headdresses when she performed.
She really an Indian? Is she a real Indian or sort of a ironized Cody Indian?
I think it's ironized Cody.
Half breed.
Half what?
How she loves
half
and hates the word. Till my heart is crying Indian and I'm begging for more. Come on, baby. Show me what that loaded gun is for.
Oh, that's so bad.
You're an outlaw lover. And I'm after your hide. Well, you ain't so strong. Won't be long till your hands are tied. Tonight I'm going to take you in, dead or alive. Which is creepy. You break the laws of love in the name of desire. Take 10 steps back, baby, because I'm ready. Aim and fire. I swear to God.
Does she write this or does she have a songwriter?
No, it's a guy named Desmond Child.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's, and then blah, 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 and then there's the hook. All right, so let's, let me just play just a little bit of this. Scotty had this with him, by the way. No, I swear to God.
Did.
I mentioned, he's like, I have that on my computer. He had it on his computer.
Is requested at weddings often, maybe?
I think the guitar work is Richie Sambora, by the way.
Oh. He's floating into town like he's thinking of gone. Just a small town dude with a big city attitude.
I love Cher.
I love a lamp.
I get a big
That's the worst song. Why would your heart cry Indian? Like, is it warning her?
It's like,
look out the window! This should be a Meatloaf song. Yeah, this is the worst song ever.
Since when did the Rick Emerson Show resort to playing Cher? That's my question.
Scotty had it. He had it on his computer.
You should play it.
Something to share with the class, Sarah?
This is just what means I totally clap for your Cher cowboy.
I'm sorry.
What?
Yeah, what did Lisa say? There's a lot of control losing on this show this week.
That's true. I totally clapped for your Cher cow voice singing last night. Cow voice.
You sang in a cow voice?
No
wonder nobody clapped.
Seriously.
Like a cow.
A cow voice? What kind of a thing is that for a friend to say about your singing?
Hey, at least she claps. She's only one, apparently.
What should we take here? Indian, a guy explaining why she's crying Indian. Scarlett Johansson.
Yep, that one.
Okay. Logan, hello, sir.
Hello. When you were talking about Scarlett Johansson, I agree that she's very flattering. And, my mom always gets all, like, PO'd when I talk about how pretty she is, because she gets jealous.
Logan, is your mom Wendy?
Yes, she is.
Oh, she is very pretty.
So your mom gets... Hold on, let's talk about this. So your
mom... You know Wendy.
I have no idea what's going on.
Sarah J. Okay, I'm going to have to... Logan, don't listen to this. So, Sarah just said, you know Wendy, and then she put her hands in front of her chest to...
Wendy is a very beautiful woman. I know that you've...
Large bosoms and then hair. But do you realize that you describe every one of your friends the same way to me? You go, you know, insert Sarah's friend here, and then does the big boob hand gesture, and then just long hair.
All of my friends have big boobs.
And long hair. Not that I paid attention to that sort of thing. And they're submissive. Let me understand this, Logan. Let me understand this. So your mom gets jealous when you talk about how pretty Scarlett Johansson is.
Yes. So me and my dad hatched this little code word. So every time something mentions, like a movie has her in it, we say, I think it has Steve Buscemi in it, because we like Steve Buscemi because he's good. So Steve Buscemi is code for Scarlett Johansson.
You are the best guy who's ever called the show. That's fantastic.
Logan, how old are you?
I'm 12. I'm the kid who called in about Moxie and drinking antifreeze.
How great to be known as that. All right. God bless you, Logan.
Enjoy that, Mark.
You call us anytime.
Thank you, Rick.
No, thank you, sir.
Quite a cocktail, Moxie and antifreeze.
I'm the kid who called in about drinking antifreeze.
Moxie freeze.
Can you put Wendy's picture back on the screen?
I'm putting it. That was her.
Can you just leave it up
that
there?
That was her son.
Oh. I didn't see it.
I know. I'm trying to find it.
Oh, that was Logan's picture on the screen?
Yeah.
Oh, let's not have that up there. That would just be creepy. Look, I demand the new studio be decorated with pictures of 12-year-old boys. I demand that you do this now.
That was Rick Emerson's
in
vote.
Accordance with prophecy. Thank you. Are we breaking?
We haven't taken the 20.
All right, there you go.
I love the 20.
All right. Stop it. Stop.
I get there early for the 20.
Stop. I swear to Christ. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Hey, Daniel, are you really in New Zealand?
I am really in New Zealand.
Oh, this is Dan.
It's
this
where
is,
you are. It's where I am.
This is Daniel. This is New Zealand, Daniel. Hello, sir. Is it? What is the temperature like in New Zealand today?
It is a very sunny day. It is approximately 2 degrees Celsius, which I believe is like 86 degrees Fahrenheit.
I think you're just making that up, but that's okay. Fantastic. Now you were in Portland for quite some time, and now you are back in your place, your motherhood or whatever
yes,
it is.
I am.
Now, are you there forever? Are you coming back to Portland at some point?
I'd like to come back to Portland, but it'll probably be a while.
Excellent. All right. Well, you got to take a photograph of wherever it is you live, because of Lord of the Rings, we all think that New Zealand looks like Middle Earth. So you got to snap yourself a photograph or two and send it our way, my friend.
I still have the AM970 shirt, by the way.
And, well, see, that's what you did. Take a photograph somewhere in New Zealand, wherever it is, wherever you think it's appropriate. A picture of you with the 970 logo in the foreground.
Yeah.
All right, my friend.
I believe it is the one of the most traveled shirts.
Excellent. Well, keep listening online. You call us anytime. Keep us in the loop as far as New Zealand news.
I still do the live journal posts, by the way.
Oh, that's right. This is Dan, who does the blow-by-blow of the show every day. So
yes.
I'll put up a permanent link to that so people can kind of go there every day.
Oh, sweet.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
All right, you guys have a good day.
You as well, my friend. Enjoy New Zealand. Enjoy the warmth for us. Say hello to the sun. All right, there you go. That's Dan. Send me an email too, and I'll put up another link to that. So it's on the thing. It's the whole deal. Tim Riley.
That sounds reasonable.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So getting back to these gondola cars, you could ride on them every 5 minutes. You're going to be riding on Walt or Gene. These are the names of the new cars. Walt is named for Walt Reynolds, and Gene is named for Gene Richardson. The 86-year-old Reynolds, I thought these were brand new cars. I question the safety of these.
That's fantastic.
Oh, he was in attendance. And let's see here. Oh, and the stations have crazy funky names here. One is called Sumanchal. I know, people are going to say that too. And the station adjoining OHSU on Pill Hill... Which is an easy name to say.
That's what I'm saying. And you know, and look, I think I'm
Bill Hill Express.
I think I speak for all of us here when I simply say that these are names no one's going to remember them.
Tamiflu.
There's no. It's no. No.
That's very childish.
No reflection on the origin of the name or why the names were chosen. They're just names that are never going to stick. They're never going to work.
So now that we have this.
No.
Can we get a water slide coming down? Is that a possible project?
It's just an empty tube.
I mean, we've gotten this far.
If I was mayor, I would push for a water slide coming down from the hill like right now, like today.
Right.
That would.
What
get
can we
you,
do about that?
That'd get you reelected. Let's just build one without asking.
Okay.
That'll be our summertime project. Susan Reynolds, we're going to build a water slide
on
the top of the hill.
They asked but didn't listen, but built it anyway. Anyway, in other news, Joan Collins flashes her backside, not aboard the tramway. She's not in town. This is someplace else. She was left red-faced after accidentally exposing her lingerie during her new play, Legends. A broken zipper led to a wardrobe malfunction, which caused the actress's dress to slip down during a performance.
How old is she?
At a theater in Los Angeles. First of all, nobody goes out to a play in Los Angeles, so nobody's sorry.
It didn't really happen.
No. Apparently, she was left showing off her undergarments to stun fans like they didn't think she wore them. The 73-year-old and co-star and former Dynasty rival Linda Evans desperately tried in vain to zip her up, but it got stuck in something.
So, Jackie Collins and Linda Evans are doing a play together in Los Angeles.
Apparently so. People did not go to plays in Los Angeles, ever.
No, it's sort of a ninth is tier, like, together again kind of a tour. You know, she was really hot kind of like 50 years ago. Yeah, and I'm done. That's all I have to say about that.
Look who else is in here. Robert Wagner and Stephanie Powers.
Stephanie Powers, really?
Yeah.
I don't understand what kind of play this is.
Play with a broken zipper, I guess.
All right. Well, there you go.
And Pamela Sue Martin.
Pamela Sue, this must be some sort of sticky, I mean, obviously, because they're all stars of 80s television dramas.
Yes.
Stephanie Powers, because they were heart to heart, right?
Yes, they were.
Who was the driver on that show? What was his name?
Oh, the guy with the raspy voice?
And he was always like, hello, I'm what's-his-name, the
Nobody
driver.
Nobody can remember his name.
So that guy looked like Paulie from the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
All right.
A statue to honor prostitutes around the world is coming to Amsterdam's Red Light District. The former prostitute who commissioned the statue said it's meant to give strength to the male and female prostitutes who are looked down upon and generally disrespected. The statue is made of bronze and depicts a woman looking confidently out into the world. It'll be unveiled at the end of March. Two trucks are resting at the bottom of the Eagle Lake after a few residents took to the annual task of plowing a shortcut road across the ice. One truck broke through the ice while two men were plowing the road across the lake, and less than an hour later, a second truck fell into the same hole.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's not fantastic.
The water is between 50 and 60 feet deep.
Okay, that's fantastic. Well, there's no way. You're there forever. You can't get a truck out of that, can you?
No.
Is it possible to get a truck out of water that's 60 feet deep?
Well, judging that it's from Maine, how are they going to get a truck up there?
That's true. Well, and it doesn't.
And who would want to drive that far?
Seriously, that's the other thing. And, like, who's going to.
Like 6 hours of driving through nothing.
This is in Portland, Maine?
Is way up in Maine. It's way past Portland. It's up at the Canadian border.
Oregon and Maine can be confused very easily, I'm told.
Yes.
All right.
So that's that.
Okay.
I'm done.
he announces confidently.
Have a nice weekend.
Looking skyward. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, greatest newsman ever. Thank you, sir.
Oh, you're welcome.
No, thank you. No. All right. No, thank you. No, thank you.
All right, there you go.
Tim Riley. All right. Well, let's talk about the new David Lynch film, which came. Well, and then we will reveal which celebrity Scotty J. believes he looks like.
Do you have a good hour and a half to talk about this?
And of course, of all of those things I could devote an hour to talking to, David Lynch films would be at the top of my list.
I'm sure it would.
I know a little bit because I heard what you were telling me about it during the break.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, I'm not giving anything away here, but you went on and on about it during the break, and I don't know whether you liked it or not. I can't figure it out.
I spent a good 20 minutes on this week's episode of Film Fever Radio going on and on about it. Bottom line, I did like it. And I'm a Lynch fan. People who know me know that I'm a Lynch fan at heart. I love everything the man does. The first time I saw Eraserhead, which was the first Lynch film I ever saw, I was on a quest to learn everything about this fascinating mad genius. And mad genius is the best way to describe Inland Empire. It's 3 hours. Laura Dern, who is looking who's aging very, very well.
I wouldn't think she would age well. I thought she would end up being really bony.
You should Google, find a picture of her currently. She's doing really well. And she did a fantastic job in this film. She holds the film together because, boy, it's a lot of nonsense. The film was shot on a consumer-grade digital camera,
right,
first of all. And so it makes for a very shaky, handheld, very grainy effect on the film. And when you go see a David Lynch film, not only is the story, the script, fascinating, if you then dive into the look of the film, because Lynch is an artist. I mean, he does all forms of art, different mediums of art, and his films are really, really beautiful. I mean, just look at him. His films you can watch with muted sound.
I will say that he visually, he has a lot of style. Yeah. I will acknowledge that.
And so on that level, watching Inland Empire is fantastic because there's some amazing, such beautiful shots. And the man, and he still has a thing with red curtains and the color red and blue and very muted browns. And it's really, really really gorgeous film to watch. But it's insane. Laura Dern and Justin Theroux play a pair of actors who get cast in this film directed by the character played by Jeremy Irons. And it's a remake of a Polish film that supposedly was cursed. The two lead actors, the male and female lead in this original Polish film, the film within the film of Inland Empire, were killed mysteriously after the film was shot. And so the story kind of goes off that a little bit, but then it goes into this very weird parallel universe where Laura Dern plays an adulterous woman in the film. But the film, well, what's going on in her mind?
You don't really understand what this film's about, do you?
I'm trying, dude. Help me out here. It's all being watched on TV by a Polish prostitute in a hotel in Poland while she's watching a show called Rabbits with people with rabbit heads on, voiced by, one of the rabbits is voiced by Naomi Watts and Laura Henning, both from Mulholland Drive. There's a group of prostitutes who do a dance number to Locomotion. What else is there? Street people talking about various injuries. Polish mafia. Yeah.
You don't know what the movie's about.
I really don't.
David Lynch?
I tried. No, that's
Is at home
thing.
Laughing at
I'm
you somewhere?
I'm sure he is. I'm sure
Holding
he is.
Your money and cackling to himself.
Because
fools.
People like me who
Nine in a row.
People like me, myself, Sarah, who love David Lynch, I think are really going to enjoy this film. Just for the thrill of sitting down and trying to figure it out. I want to buy this thing when it comes on DVD and dissect it. I want to spend hours and hours trying to put the pieces together. And that's what I liked about the film. The lovely Maxine hated it, and she's a big Lynch fan too. She just couldn't. She was angry most of the when we were at the theater. We needed to go drink. She
that's
was
what
so
I
want
to say. So she needed to go drink. She was so upset about it. Now your wife and I, and I have to be very delicate here. Based upon my limited interactions with your wife, I believe that your wife and I are a great deal alike in many ways.
You really are. It scares me every day when I think of that. It's like, oh boy.
Yeah, yeah. I think that your wife, Maxine, and I share a lot of personality traits.
Yes.
And, you know, and the thing is, you're describing, you guys see, you and Maxine go to see this new David Lynch film, Inland Empire, and that it made her so angry she had to drink. No, and that just furthers my belief that A, I can never see it, and B, that she and I are a lot alike, because I've been in movies like that. Like when Mulholland Falls is that way to me.
Mulholland
Drive. I'm thinking of the other one. Mulholland Drive is that way to me, and so was Lost Highway. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and then for different reasons, Napoleon Dynamite, where I'm sitting there in the theater, and I'm like shaking with rage halfway through the film, and like where the film, where I'm like wanting to find the person who made the movie so I could feed them bit by bit into a shredding machine.
She was angry at the film because mainly she thought David Lynch just put up a bunch of nonsensical crap.
No!
And it upset her because she loves Lynch too.
You're
crazy. I know, I'm crazy.
What are you talking about?
Bottom line, I enjoyed the film. It was tough to sit through, but being a Lynch fan, I'm not giving him a pass. I'm
what
not saying it's okay.
What does that even mean that you enjoyed it, but it was tough to sit through?
Because I enjoy films that are tough to sit through. I enjoy thinking about things.
I got a film, and it's
going to
be where
stories.
You stand in the corner and I kick you in the nads.
I see. I wouldn't enjoy
I'm
that.
I'm going to hook up a car battery to your tongue.
That's
and then you'll enjoy it, though, because it's challenging.
No, it's not challenging. It's crazy.
I don't understand. I'm not trying to pick a fight,
okay.
But I'm just saying this is the difference between you guys and me.
Okay.
That if a movie is hard to sit through, I mean, it's one thing if it's hard to sit through because, I don't know, it's about a very controversial subject
right.
or something, or if it's a documentary about something very dark but
right.
fascinating. If a movie is just hard to sit through because you don't understand what the hell is going on, I just don't understand.
I liked it because of the performance by Laura Dern and Justin Theroux, who, here's my daily name dropping. I interviewed Justin Theroux for Mulholland Drive.
Was he hot in person?
It was a phone interview, so I can't really say
in person.
But he was a really cool guy.
Did he have a deep, sultry voice?
He did. He did. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to find my recording of it somewhere. I think I still have it.
Ooh.
I have to pull it out and give it to Sarah. Anyway, and Laura Dern's performance, both of them are outstanding. Jeremy Irons, Harry Dean Stanton is in it. He was very strange, but very good as well. And the images, the visuals in the film are truly, truly stunning. And for me, that works.
Maybe if I was French or something, it would all make sense. Let's see here. Let's get a couple of these. The heart-to-heart question we had earlier. Pat, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm Dandy. Pat, what's up?
The driver's name was Max, and the dog's name is Freeway.
That's exactly true. And Max looks just like, what's his name, Burt Young. He looked like Paulie from the Rocky film, sort of.
Yeah, hey, and also I have another thing. I think that Scotty J, he might look, I don't know if it's now or later on in life, but like Bobby Peru, Willem Dafoe.
I was going to say that. That's kind of creepy. All right. Thank you. Thank you. And one more here, and then I'll reveal the celebrity Scotty thinks he looks like, because no one's gotten it. Bill, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, earlier you guys were talking about saying Indian. Now, when we were little, we used to say Indian when you were you try to get somebody to say Indian when they're trying to get them to
this is, by the way, Cher who did this, not me. We would never say that.
Uncle? It wasn't supposed to be meant in any kind of bad connotation.
No, of course not.
The ethnic way or anything like that. But it was like, hold them down and say Indian. Say Indian. Give up, you know? Hey, one more quick thing. Max, the driver.
Yeah, on Heart to Heart.
Beginning of the show was the best. He'd say, "That's Mr. Hart. You know, he's a self-made millionaire. That's Mrs. Hart. She's gorgeous." This is a great way to start it. Thanks, man.
Our only talent is looking pretty and saying nothing. All right, thank you, sir.
That's
your go. Me, I'm Max. That's right. I do remember that now. All right.
All right, so who does Scotty J think he looks like? You need a drum roll?
Well, should I reveal it or should we see if he'll say it?
Okay, let's bring it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to see if he'll say it.
Oh, wait.
Because I would like to hear Scotty say who he thinks he looks like.
This doesn't, yeah.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Why, hello, it's Scotty J.
As he came throwing the door open.
Hi, Scotty, how are you?
Great.
All right, Scotty. So I'm going to repeat this sentence that you told me earlier. You can fill in the blank. We had mentioned that we believe you very much look like a younger William H. Macy, most recently seen in the film Bobby by Emilio Estevez, also seen in many episodes of Sports Night, also in lots of David Mamet films.
You know what I think by this whole thing? I think, personally, that William H. Macy is ugly, so I think that when you look at me, you think I'm ugly.
That is not true.
That's what I think, because I personally think the guy's ugly.
Well, that's you, though. I'm saying... No. I'm saying it's your belief. He's
been hit with an ugly stick.
He's not an attractive man in the way that, like, a pretty boy is. Like, he's not like a Jake Gyllenhaal type. But I would say that as he is, especially as he's gotten older, that he is a good-looking man. I would say he would be thought of as attractive.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean... Well, you don't have to agree.
The word ugly, I guess, a little harsh.
I don't think William H. Macy is ugly. I'm not saying he's like a male model, but neither am I, neither whoever. I mean, if I was, I'd be on TV. I would say he would be considered an attractive man. And he's on the screen in Hollywood, so you know he's got to be. You know, nobody really makes it in Hollywood if you're flat out hideous.
I like the guy, by the way. I just don't think I look like him.
I'm saying,
I don't think he's attractive.
In 20 years, you will be William H. Macy. Okay. But here's what Scotty said to me today. Scotty said to me in the hallway, quote, "I don't see the William H. Macy thing. Blank, maybe, but not William H. Macy." End quote. Any final guesses before we have Scotty reveal? Sarah?
I have none.
Scott Daly?
Yeah, Scotty, who do I look
J,
like?
Scotty J Daly. Believes that he resembles what celebrity?
I'm gonna go back to Owen Wilson and Bottle Rocket.
All right.
Owen Wilson circa 96.
Scotty J?
Brad Pitt.
No, you didn't. You lie.
No, I did say that. I will admit to that. It was the quickest name I could think of.
Scotty J
said... That was the complete polar opposite of William H. Macy.
Scotty J said, "I do not see the William H. Macy thing."
Brad Pitt and his crow's feet.
Brad Pitt, maybe, but not William H. Macy.
Get that removed.
All right. We'll just go out on that.
Yes, thank you.
503-733-2970. We're back after this. Scott Daly wraps it up later here. We got to do these. We'll come back. A few minutes later, we'll talk about the Film Fever Radio, the new episode. Like is at 3, Don and Mike at 7. And we'll talk to Mailman Chris before he said it. It's Rick Emerson, radio program. Sorkin and I together.
Are you going to geek out?
I don't want to say it. I want to jinx it. I don't want to curse. I don't want to say anymore.
That'd be like me meeting David Lynch.
No. I don't want to say anything more about it. I'm going next month. I will be in La Jolla for a day or two. And I always say, I hate taking days off, and then I take some off a few weeks ago, and then I'm actually going
to
be gone.
You're
for like 2 days.
You're a little vacation, my friend.
Well, but Sorkin has this new play, Aaron Sorkin. It's called The Farnsworth Invention. And it's debuting in San Diego, and I managed to swing opening night tickets. I don't want to say anything more beyond that.
Good enough.
I will tell you, he's going to be in the building. That's the thing, it's opening night. I know he will be there. Beyond that, I'll tell you the story when I get when I get back from the trip next month.
You're Rick Emerson.
There may
CBS
be a little
radio.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And I'll give credit where it's due at that point, but I don't want to jinx it right now.
You know, occasionally people ask me if there's one celebrity you could have lunch with, who would that be? And in a heartbeat, I would say David, having a burger at Bob's Big Boy with David Lynch.
But the thing is, that's the thing is, you would go there, you'd go to have a hamburger with him at Bob's Big Boy, but instead, like, he would have a helicopter land on the roof, and like a bunch of clowns would get out, and they would bring you like French food. And then they would set fire to the table, and he would be wearing a Ronald Reagan mask.
That's brilliant.
Okay.
And then he'd leave,
okay.
And you'd have to pay for it, and it would be like $5,000.
I'd pay for it.
Yeah, I know you would. That's why he'd do it.
Credit card.
He's learned. I think he's learned that. No, he'll pay for it. Watch. No, he'll call it a disturbing work of surrealistic brilliance.
And he'll throw it in a film with rabbits.
He'll call it and then the New York Post will, the Village Voice will, run a review of the lunch in which they'll call it a compelling pastiche of surrealistic images filtered through the unique kaleidoscope of David Lynch's imagination. All right.
Impressive.
Let's see here. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I was just calling about the Scotty celebrity lookalike contest or whatever. Someone called in right off the bat and either jokingly said Brad Pitt or said, I know it's not Brad Pitt or something like that.
True. No, but that was his second guess. He made a guess and then he said that as an afterthought, and I just didn't speak on it one way or the other. Rick Emerson knows how these things work, so. Right.
Okay, great. And David Lynch rules.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, there you go.
See?
All right, let's see here. Hey, Scotty, you should, and I hate to do this, you should clear out the rest of the phones except for Chris, because we got to give away those Chelsea Handler tickets. So I apologize. If you are on hold right now, I'm looking at these other calls that we will not have time to be fair with, so I apologize for that. If you're on hold, we don't have time to be fair to another caller. Scotty, so please, and don't just hang up. I swear to God. Doesn't he just go through and just like, dump. You should speak to them and say, I'm sorry. Anyway, we'll take caller 5 here.
Can I jump in real quick?
And we'll give away a pair of tickets to see Chelsea Handler next week at the Aladdin. That's 503-733-2970. Go ahead.
Last night, Aaron and I were invited to a special invitation party for Tony Starlet Supper Club. And let me just tell you, grand opening is tonight. So if you've got nothing to do, you want to go hang out, hear some great music, have some great food, great drink, Tony Starlet Supper Club. It's fantastic. I'm not a paid advertiser or anything for it. I'm just telling you. Best damn club in town. And next Tuesday, you can see Film Fever Radio being recorded live at Tony Starlight's.
Actually, what I'm going to do here is I'll welcome Chris.
Yes, it is.
Chris, how many do I have? And then you and Scott can talk about Film Fever Radio while I'm doing my push-ups. So.
You've got 6 to do.
Oh, I hate you guys.
Because you did not get the penis chopping story.
It's going to be warm
again.
In that sweater. That sweater's going to be warm.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, why don't you tell Chris what's on Film Fever Radio this week?
Film Fever Radio this week is my extended review of David Lynch's Inland Empire, and Aaron once again laments how he got screwed out of the screening for Pan's Labyrinth.
What?
And two,
that's 3, what? 8 holes.
I didn't
come on,
the first
two
one.
More. Well, two. 3.
I hate you.
4. Knees up. 5. One more.
No girly push-ups.
6. Oh, those knees were close to getting down there.
Very good.
Oh, my God. I've never seen someone's face so red.
Every Friday. I love baking on Fridays. Also, hey, this weekend we are recording our Film Fever Radio Tombstone commentary. Man like Chris, you have been invited.
Yeah, I will see you tomorrow night.
You are? Okay, very good, very good. So, yeah, we're doing our Tombstone commentary, and everyone knows my hatred of Tombstone, so it should be a very interesting night with whiskey and Tombstone pizza. The rule tomorrow night is straight drinks only, no mixers.
Fantastic.
It's a Western, you know. All right. Do that. So, yeah, new episode of Film Fever Radio will be up later this evening, around 6-ish or so, and next Tuesday we are going to be at Tony Starlight's recording our show live in front of an audience, so come on down and throw things at us if you feel like you need to do that.
Fantastic. The website is filmfeverradio.com.
Yes, sir.
You can also go to geekinthecity.com. All right, there you go. So I am zeroed out for this week, my friend.
Zeroed out for the week, and we will talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend.
You as well. There you go. There's a mailman.
Chris. Veins on the forehead kind of throbbing a little bit
feel
there.
So. Yeah. So you're going to... It's all well and good. Till I go home and I die. And then somebody, I don't know, his face was all red. We didn't think you could die from it, though, so we just made him keep doing push-ups.
You kept going and going and going.
Seriously, it's all well and good until you're a fark story.
You could do the push-ups we had to do in boot camp where you stay down for a count of, like, 20 seconds and then up for 5 and down for 30 seconds and up for 5 again.
Ooh, yeah.
Those hurt.
How about I not do those?
Those hurt.
All right. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom, Tim Riley. Scotty J is our PA, the manager of the Rick Emerson office.
Brad Pitt,
will you kiss me?
Brad,
can I kiss you?
Bring your jewel amount.
Can I kiss you?
That's from Boogie Nights. Scott and I really aren't gay for each other.
No.
I'm all man.
Yeah. How about the football game this week?
Yeah, hell of a game.
Yeah.
Hell of a game. Anywho, Dave Zim, manager of the Rick Emerson Office East. We want to thank Brian Blank, Jim Roop, and Lisa Goddard. Like us next. Don't forget the Fuel Show tomorrow, 9 to 11, and tomorrow, 4 to 6, the Timnasium. Like us next. Down to Mike at 7. Enjoy your weekend. We will see you Monday morning at 11 a.m. As always, don't let the bastards grin. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See you tomorrow. Bye. Monday.
Station FM DJs in La Meilleure Area de Portland.